Action Park Media.
You're on the ILC, the go-to place for New York Islanders hockey talk.
Welcome aboard the ILC podcast, powered by Action Park Media. Mike Carver here with you as the Islanders continue to play great hockey at home. They beat the Capitals on Tuesday night, 1-0. A late Brock Nelson goal gets them across the finish line as the Islanders beat the Caps twice in the last week at home, both in two very different ways, as we will talk about that and more. Trade deadline coming up under a week away. Plenty to do on today's shorty little episode here. As always, you can listen to the show anywhere that you have podcasts. Let's be fair. Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, away we go, wherever you want to listen. You can get your ILC podcast gear at yesmenoutfitters.com. Devin has been killing it lately. Some unbelievable stuff. Gorton in the mix. Shirts, the whole deal. And Devin has more great stuff on the way as well. So check him out, yesmenoutfitters.com. So the Islanders do beat the Capitals on Tuesday night, 1-0 at the Coliseum. Very different game from the 8-4 win that they had over them last week. Bottom line is they won games, and they won them in different ways. Crazy wide-open game a week ago, probably not the type of game that Barry Trotz loves to see, and then the type he absolutely loves. Low-scoring, grinding, great job by the Islanders defensively, a 1-0 win, which is, and the score probably doesn't indicate what happened in that game. I mean, to be fair, the Islanders hit probably 17 or 18 posts. I know I'm kidding, but it seemed like 17 or 18 posts. They outshot the Capitals. It's not very often you see the Islanders with 40-plus shots on goal. You saw that on Tuesday night. So all in all, a really strong effort. Varley was great. You get the late goal from Brock Nelson, and away you go. Clutch goal from Brock. Another ROW. How about the Islanders at home this year? I mean, honestly, they're 16-1-2 at the Coliseum. And that brings to the bigger point of what's going on here as we sit with, 17 games left in the regular season? And they're now tied with the Caps at the top of the East. They're 4 points clear of the Penguins, who are in third. I know that for the first couple months, I was more in the camp of, you know what? Just to make the playoffs, who cares about this stuff? You know, as long as you're one of the four, you can get to where you need to be. Now that you're here and you're getting down to crunch time and there's only so many games left in the season, I do feel that first place actually does hold a lot of advantages. And I think it's something that over this last final stretch, this last month, and geez, there's only a month to go, guys. Think about this here. May 10th. Is the last game, that made-up game with the Bruins. So May 10th, and we sit here on April the 7th. So we're getting close, that's for sure. We are definitely getting close to the finish of this season. And I think first place is imperative for two reasons. One, they're 16-1-2 at home. They've been outstanding at the Coliseum. You want to have that advantage in a Game 1 and potentially a Game 7. That's just standard protocol. Now, last year in the bubble, did it matter? No, there were no fans. You're starting to get more and more fans in the building. They're doing an outstanding job increasing, keeping it safe, making sure they can get people in there. And the people that are in the building, the 1,400 of you that have been going, you have been making your presence felt. And if by time playoffs come, that gets bumped up to, even if it's 3,000 or if it's 4,000, whatever it is, the Islander fan in that old barn is going to have a distinct advantage. They are. So it's one of the reasons why getting first place is very important. The other reason is that I think that there's been a clear divide now between the Islanders, Capitals, and Penguins, gap, and then the Bruins. The Bruins have problems. The Islanders have beaten them plenty of times this year. You've seen it. And you've seen them in some of these other games. Some of their older players look a little older. They're banged up. Some of the younger players that they've inserted into their lineup don't seem quite ready yet. Their goaltending is now a very big mystery and a problem. So I think the Bruins right now in this shortened season with 17 to play, and I think it's like 18 or 20 for them, But with the stretch coming down, they are not on the level of the Islanders, Capitals, and Penguins right now. So if you come in first, you're going to avoid playing those other two teams. You're only going to have to potentially beat one of them to get to the Final Four. Whereas if you come in second or third, you're going to have to potentially beat both of them. You want to make the road as easy as you can to get to where you want to be. And the way to do that for the Islanders is winning this division. Gets you home ice in a building that you're 16-1-2. Gets you to potentially only having to play the Penguins or the Capitals once. We know the kind of problem the Penguins have been this year. And the Islander Capital games have all been razor thin. Even the three games that they lost down in D.C., they were tight games. They played them in the playoffs last year. You know how tight it is. And the Penguins have been a problem for the Islanders. You want to play, you know, one of those teams. Now, that doesn't mean by the time you get to the playoffs, Boston isn't going to have things figured out, and that's a tough matchup. Yeah, all these matchups in the playoffs are tough. I'm just saying, when you look at it right now, first week in April, the Bruins aren't on the same level as these other three teams. And the Bruins still have to figure out a way to get that fourth spot, which I do believe that they will. Rangers and Flyers are 5 points back of them. The Bruins, of course, because of their COVID situation, have played the least amount of games. In the East, they have 20 games left to go, actually, whereas the Isles, Pens, and Caps have 17. So they have the longest way to go here, and I do believe they'll get that fourth slot. They're only four back of the Penguins if they figure things out. I know it sounds like I'm dismissing the Bruins a little bit here. I don't want to do that because we know how dangerous they can be. But I would take my shot this year against them in the first round with home ice than having to play the Penguins in round one, the Capitals in round two, before you get to a Final Four. And the Rangers maybe will give Boston a little bit of a push. The Islanders are going to have a lot to say about that with five games left with the Rangers, including two biggies starting this weekend here on Friday and Sunday night at the Coliseum. But the Rangers have been scoring a ton of goals lately. There's no doubt about that. A ton of goals. They've been blowing some of these teams out. So I think that the styles of the Islanders and the Rangers coming up here, the lot of offense from the Blue Shirts, a lot of defense, as we know, the structured game that the Islanders and Barry Trotz bring, should be fun on Friday and Sunday. We'll talk about that more in a moment. So there's my two reasons why I think winning this division is very attainable, very possible, and really they need to be striving for that. Now, the other thing that we have on the table here for us, and we're going to ramp these shows up. I know there hasn't been a lot of ISPs here, and I get that. It's been tough the past couple of weeks. New baby, ton of work. I mean, there's a lot of excuses I'm giving you here. I want to try to get these out at least once a week. You know that. I've been having to pick my spots lately. There's just been too much going on at home. Love doing the show. It's just the time aspect for me has been very hard over the past 6 to 8 weeks. And you can tell that by the amount of shows that I've done. There's no lie there. But I have looked at the schedule here going forward. We are in a stretch run where the trade deadline is early next week. We have a run to the finish of the regular season. We have a playoff where we are going to get into a more consistent flow here and finish off this season in a big way here on the ISP. So that's just a little sidebar on why we haven't gotten as many shows in. But the trade deadline coming up, we obviously are going to have that pillar to post starting on Monday, after these two Ranger games that the Islanders play. And this is the topic right now. I mean, go on Twitter, go on wherever. This is what everybody's chattering about. What are the Islanders going to do? Because they do need to do something. We're all in agreement on that, aren't we? They got to do something. They're winning games with this squad. Take nothing away from them. I mean, listen, they beat the Capitals twice in the last week. They can win games. Can they get to the final prize? I don't think so. They need to fill that hole that Anders Lee has left. I know that Arthur Staple had a great piece on Wednesday morning about how Komarov has been good for Barzy, and he's been good for the top line, and they haven't allowed any goals, even strength. That's all great. You can't have him playing on the top line when you're in the playoffs trying to win 16 games. You can't have it. So that's not going to last. Okay? It's just not. So everything that he wrote in there is true. It's 1,000% true. He's done that stuff with them. But long term, getting to the goal, it's not going to happen. So where are they going to go? We know the names. Taylor Hall, Kyle Palmieri, Nick Foligno. There's been a couple of other ones sprinkled out there a little bit. I know that a few weeks ago, I was very, you know, kind of wishy-washy on the Taylor Hall thing. I have completely been turned. I've gone full Darth Vader here. I'm in on Hall. You get me Hall by Monday, I'll go and pick him up at the airport for you. That's pretty much where I'm at with Taylor Hall. And I understand that over the past couple of years, it has not looked very good for Taylor Hall ever since he won that MVP. You know, he hasn't been the same. He carried the Devils to the playoffs that year, 17-18. Hasn't done much since. Got traded to Arizona last year. They were in the bubble. You know, they won that five-gamer. They didn't do much. He didn't do much. He took a couple of million more to go to Buffalo. He had offers at better teams, but took the money to go play for the Sabres for $8 million, and that has not worked out for him at all either. I still am a go with this, if Lou could pull it off. Now, I'm not looking to give away the sun, the moon, and the stars, believe me. But I am definitely willing that if the Islanders were to acquire Taylor Hall, I'm all guns a-blazing for it. I've seen enough guys now. The Islanders have the best coach in the NHL. There is no way that you can sell me that anybody cannot fit in Barry's system. I mean, or at least that Barry cannot convince them to play well in his system. And I can't put too much stock in what's gone on in Buffalo because people were quitting on that guy Kruger before Hall even got there. Okay, it was a bad situation there from start to finish for every guy on the team. And I can't pin all that on Taylor Hall. And I also don't think Taylor Hall can be a guy that it all falls on his shoulders. And would not be the case with the Islanders. Because the Islanders have a very team-oriented concept. It's one for one, one for all. That's it. And putting Taylor Hall into that kind of environment would probably be very good for him. He was the savior in New Jersey. He was the guy everybody looked to. Didn't work out. Traded to Arizona to be their top dog. Didn't work out. Went to Buffalo to play with Eichel. Eichel's been hurt all year. He's done nothing in Buffalo. I'd be willing to take a shot on Hall if the Islanders could figure it out. He's a major talent, and he's an upgrade over a few guys, quite a few, that they already put on the ice every single night. And there is no denying that whatsoever. Okay, you cannot sit here and tell me that when you're trying to win 16 games in the playoffs, you'd rather have Leo Komarov or Ross Johnston or Michael Dalcol or even young Kiefer Bellows. You cannot tell me that you'd rather have any of those people in the lineup over Taylor Hall. You cannot. You're just making the argument for the sake of making it. You just don't like the guy. I'd believe this guy, Barrett. I'd believe Trotz with taking anybody and making them right. I've seen this guy work enough magic over the last 2.5 years that I'll give him another shot here. But I'm not saying that. If they got Kyle Palmieri, if they got Nick Foligno, and I believe Foligno is the guy that the Islanders could potentially end up with. I was talking to our guy Denny Bernstein, who was on a couple weeks ago. And he was telling me that he thinks that that's the guy Lou's going to zero in on. And I could see that. It seems like a nice fit. I think it seems like a nice fit more for middle six than top three, you know, in terms of the forward structure for the Islanders. I feel the Islanders need two guys. Now, I don't think you can get two out of the three in Hall, Palmieri, and Foligno. I don't think you could do that. I'm not enough of a capologist to figure that stuff out. I don't think that that's possible. They could use two of the three, one for the top line, one for the third line. And if they ever could figure out, and I'm saying even beyond those three guys, if they could figure out to get one guy for one and one guy for three, I think that then they're back in the mix to be one of the teams that can win it all. They're back in the mix. Because you look at the standings right now. Look at them. Who's the dominant force? Who's head and shoulders better than the Islanders right now? Who is it? Colorado? Sure. Over the last 15 games? Yeah, they are. But they weren't for the first 25 or the first 15 to 20. I honestly do believe that right now there's five or six teams that could win the Cup. And the Isles are one of them. And I'll feel even better about that if they make changes. I don't think they're one of them if they do nothing by Monday. If Monday at 3 o'clock rolls around and the Islanders are the same team that they have been the past few weeks, I think they absolutely win a couple of rounds in the playoffs. I think they can get to the spot that they were in September in Edmonton. But I am not sure that they can get to the final, you know, the final stage. They make some moves by Monday. I will put them with Tampa. I'll put them with Vegas. I'll put them with Colorado. I'll put them with Washington. I believe Washington deserves to be there too. Man, that kid Vanishek the other night. Jeez. How good was he in goal? I'll put the Caps there too. Caps Islanders playoff series would be an absolute battle. I mean, it would just be unbelievable if that comes to pass, which I believe it will. But these other teams at the top with Tampa, like Florida and Carolina, I'm not as sold. More Carolina than Florida. Florida's having an amazing season. I'm not putting them in the class of those other teams that I just mentioned because they haven't done it. Isles got to these finals last year. They have shown that they can win multiple rounds of the playoffs. But they need a couple more pieces, and they got to figure that out by Monday at 3 o'clock. And whether it's Taylor Hall, Palmieri, Nick Foligno, or whoever else, Isles got to add to try to finish the job here. So that's where we're at with the trade deadline. We will 100% have a trade deadline reaction I'll see podcast Monday night. We will effort that. That's not even a question. It doesn't matter if I don't sleep. We will figure that out on Monday to react whatever they do or do not do by Monday at 3. And they have a couple days off after that, so we'll try to get even more post-reaction even beyond that if we can from the right people. So a very big few days coming up here for the Islanders, because not only do they have the deadline in their horizon, but they also have the New York Rangers on the table as well. And they have the Flyers on Thursday night. They have the Rangers then Friday and Sunday before a little bit of a break, and then you hit the heavy finish. That 3 days off the Islanders get next week, you can buckle up after that, because then it's basically hockey every other day to the finish line. You know, stops in Boston for two games, Philly, Rangers, two with the Caps at home, back to D.C., Rangers again for two. And then you finish the season, you know, with the pinata that you got to beat up on last month. Two in Buffalo, two at home with Jersey. Crucial that week if the Islanders are trying to possibly get that first slot. That's a nice finish for the Islanders. And then in Boston, of course, that Monday night game, the makeup from the COVID. So it's all there for them. They're one of the five, I believe, five best teams in this league. And they're a move or two away from possibly making themselves even stronger. I mean, they've proven it now. This has been years now. This isn't fluke stuff anymore. The Islanders deserve to be talked about with these other teams. Let's just see what Lou puts together to maybe put a final piece to the puzzle. And if it takes first-round picks, and I've seen you guys on Twitter talk about them, if it takes first-round picks, you give up a first-round pick. Picking between 28 and 32nd in the NHL draft is dart throwing. It is dart throwing. And when you are trying to win a cup, you can give up one of those picks. If you were telling me the Islanders were giving up the third overall pick, obviously I would not do it. They are not giving up a lottery pick. Just like last year with Pageau, they are giving up a pick that you hope is one of the last four, or God willing, the last pick in the first round. And you give it up every day. Tampa's given them up the last 2 years. Where to get them? Probably more than that, honestly. If I don't have Tampa's trading a first-round picks in front of me, but they've traded quite a few. You worry about tomorrow. I'll have a chance to win the whole thing today. And they need a couple more moves to put them in that conversation. So we will talk about that on Monday. And the Ranger games will be interesting. Rangers scoring a ton of goals. Ranger fans are feeling themselves. A lot of nonsense, you know, with Strom and Zibanejad and comparing him to Barzal and blah, 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 blah. Let them all talk. Trust me, the Islanders will do the work on the ice for you, and then you'll be able to do the talking back. Okay? They're not ready for big boy hockey yet. They're not ready for Islander hockey. They're not. There's a reason why they are where they are. Because they still have young pieces. And guys, get ready. Rangers are going to be good. Like, the Rangers are going to be one of these teams in the next 2, 3, 4 years that is one of the better in the NHL. But they're not ready to dance with the Isles yet. And I think they're going to get a little lesson. They're not scoring 8 goals on the Islanders on Friday and Sunday night. That's not happening. I know that they've put some big numbers on the Flyers and the Pens lately. That's not happening this weekend. So, a lot of fun. In fact, what I'm going to try to do is, because these games are late on Friday and Sunday, and I know we've said we've tried to do this before in the past, it hasn't worked out, I'm not going to go so much live. I think what I'm going to try to do is, have you guys seen this thing on Twitter? The Twitter Spaces, where you can basically just kind of go on there and have like a little jam session. Everybody can talk, things like that. I think I'll just try host one of those either Friday or Sunday after the game. Sunday's probably more optimal because we'll have some trade deadline stuff in the mix there. But, you know, you've probably seen some on your Twitter feed at the top of the page. You've seen, it's like that little purple icon. We'll try that out. And if I'm going to do it, I will tweet about it and let you guys know well in advance. If you want to come in, hang out, listen, anybody wants to say anything about the team, we'll just chat it up on things that have gone on with the Isles. So we're going to try to utilize that new little product that they have there, that new little option that they've put on Twitter. We'll try to mess around with that after one of these Ranger games this weekend and have a little fun. Kind of back to the live days. And if it stinks and it's not working, then we'll go to the live thing that we've always done. But we'll do that, because it's time now. It's money time. The money's on the table, and we're down the stretch. Once you hit the trade deadline, you know it's time. It's time to ratchet it up. And that's what we're going to do here on the ILC podcast, is we are going to take it up another couple notches here. That's for sure. And we didn't really get to talk a lot about any of the players. Listen, Wahlstrom's been on, but I love Ollie. He's been money in the bank here for the Isles. I really want him to score on that one dipsy doodle move that he made against the Caps on Tuesday night late in that game. Wally's been great. Really has. You've even seen some life from some other guys. The bars you get in the first star of the week off the hat trick against the Caps last Thursday. Seeing him and Eberle kind of bust out a little was very needed after those losses to the Penguins. And it is amazing. The Penguins are the team this year with the Isles. They have had their number. We have seen teams in the past. The Carolinas, etc. And the Isles own the Pens for the last few years up until this one. Isles had the Pens number. The Pens have turned it around a little bit. I don't know how they do it. I mean, it's amazing. Some of these guys, you've never heard of them in your life scoring these goals for the Penguins. But that's what they do. They're a good team at doing that. And that's going to be a challenge for the Isles if they have to play them again in a 7-game series in a month, about a month, month and a half from now. So we will see you guys over the weekend on some format, whether it's that Twitter space or a live we'll do after one of those Ranger games, and definitely Monday for the trade deadline will be very interesting to see what the Islanders do. Very interesting to see how Lou plays this out. They're right on the doorstep. Let's see if he can kick it through and get the Isles to the promised land here. All right, thanks again to Action Park Media. They do an outstanding job getting the show up and running for everybody to hear. Devin at Yes Men, Gorton Products. Everything is happening with Dev right now. Go check it out, yesmenoutfitters.com. Even got the stable sauce working. New sandwich over at Donald's Place. Go and get it. Jeez, even the sauce now for Dev. Guys, just it's amazing the stuff that he continues to pump out for everybody. And that's true. I did go get to see him a couple weeks ago. I stopped by the HQ Brew, the brewery, and checked out what was going on there. Got myself a couple cans of the Offside beer, which was tremendous. Awesome. The Offside with that little hint of lime in there. Outstanding stuff. I have to crack a couple of those for the Ranger game on Friday night. So I'll talk to you guys this weekend and early next week for a new ISP. Thanks for hanging in with me, as always. Mike Carver, the ILC Podcast. We'll see you then.